So how is everybody?
Good.
Doing good?
Great.
What was that, Gail?
It's good to see you, Carlene.
Oh, yeah? Carlene hasn't been here. How was your vacation?
Oh, it was great. My brother got married in Jamaica, and my God, we stayed at this resort. It was so incredibly beautiful and peaceful. Oh my gosh. Oh, it just was really, really nice. And the wedding itself was great. You know, meeting my new sister-in-law's family, and it's just what I needed. It's been such a crazy few months, and that break, that getaway into beauty, just, you know, I spent so much time in swimming in the water. They started calling me a fish. That was the running joke. But there was some, I don't know if what it was, the algae or the salt or what it is, but it just totally just calmed me, you know.
The sunshine
felt so good, you know. The seawater just felt so good. Beautiful turquoise Caribbean waters. I mean, oh,
lovely.
Oh yeah, I just, you know, it was really good. Really, really good.
Well, you deserve it.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and then I started a new job 2 days later. So,
and how do you like it?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I'm going to be helping people in the underserved community. It's really very underserved, you know, the area, and it's what I was asking for. You know, to work from home, you know, part time. You know, the benefits are great, and you know, the salary is good too. So, yeah. I'm happy to be working again.
Good.
Sorry, I got to turn my phone off. Sorry. Awesome. So, does the job fulfill everything that you had asked for?
In many ways, yes. In many ways, yes. I mean, I wanted to move away from, you know, community mental health, but it's still, you know, the people there are very nice, and, you know, everything that I wanted is there. So I don't know, maybe it's just where I'm supposed to be right now, because a lot of other jobs, the doors closed when I thought, okay, this is good. And then this one stayed open for me. You know, there was an issue with the salary, and, you know, the medical director went to bat for me. You know, she really wanted me there and stuff like that. So, you know, I just want to see what is there for me. I'm open.
Awesome. Man, when you stay open, there are no limits. There are no limits on what can happen.
Yeah, it might lead into something that's magical for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the way I'm thinking, because, you know, it's like every other door just closed, and this one, you know, this person really went to bat for me, and really wanted me to be part of, you know, the clinic, and, you know, so people I've met so far are very welcoming, and the patients really need the support. You know, underserved community in East New York. And so, you know, and that's close to my heart as well, you know, helping those that are underserved. So I'm open. I want to see what this leads me.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. 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 That is exciting. So does anybody else have exciting news to share?
I have sad news. I learned yesterday that my stepsister committed suicide. Yeah.
Oh,
I was
surprised
she didn't see that. A lot went, she lost her mum in January, and then her husband walked out on her. And I don't know what else was, I've got to get hold of my brother to get more details, but she just, I don't know. If I'd known that, I would have given her a ticket and asked her to come over and spend some time here and just do fun stuff. And I think, anyway, and it was interesting, because not interesting, but it was I hadn't thought about my mother's suicide in a while, but we mentioned it on mm-hmm. on here
last week.
Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about it, you know, this week, and you know, just because that now came into my, you know, my forefront of my head. But and then I heard that, I thought, that's so weird, you know. It's so, but you know, while I'm sad about it, and my immediate feeling is, what could I have done to prevent it? Because that's my mindset, you know, that's how I am, always looking after mm-hmm. the problem. But I'm thinking, you know what, she might be in a much better place than us, especially with what we're about to go through. Because if any of you have really done your homework, you know, we're heading for a lot of changes in this country. Or in the world, not just, and she was in England. She was in London. She lived in London. She wasn't in America. But, you know, it's with everything that goes on around you, there's always a way to look at it in a way that doesn't bring you down. Mm-hmm. I was reading something about the difference between sympathy and empathy. One of them, you understand a situation, but it doesn't bring you down. You go to that. Another one is it brings you down to that level. Mm-hmm. That's an interesting way of looking at it. Not to be brought down to the level of something from a vibrational point of view. So, yeah, that was my news this week. Other than that, it was fine.
Yeah, I'm so sorry for your loss. Yeah. And, you know, having worked in mental health,
right.
The survivors always have a sense of guilt, you know, always, you know, if I had called, if I had done this, it's normal to feel that way. And there's really nothing
that
you could do. You can't see what's going on in somebody's mind, you know. And
I did actually try and contact her when her mum died, because I heard from my brother that her mum had died. I'm not very, you know, they're in England and I'm over here and I'm actually not that close to her. Mm-hmm. But she's a lovely girl. I mean, I grew up with her. I mean, I really like Fleur. But I tried contacting my brother, who is a JW, Jehovah's Witness, and hates me because I left it many, many years ago. He gave me a phone number, but I don't think he gave me the right phone number, because I tried repeatedly to get in touch with her. So this is, unfortunately, the dynamics of my brother. And that's a shame, because he's a good person. He's just in a cult, you know, situation where he's taken everything. So, you know, he's one of those people that takes everything to the nth degree. So he's, it wouldn't surprise me if he gave me the wrong number. So I'm feeling a little bit upset about that, because I would like to have got in touch with her, you know. So I've lost that opportunity now. But, you know, as I keep saying, she's probably in a better place than we are, because the spirit doesn't die. You know, the individual doesn't die, it just moves on. At least that's my understanding of it. And given that, Kate, you talk to the dead all the time, it's clear that they don't just disappear. So, yeah, but everything is a good way of analyzing how you digest something, how you process it from a resonance point of view. So that was a good thing. That was something I've been thinking of the last 2 days.
Well, you know, please accept our deepest sympathies, you know, for your loss. That loss is still loss, and at some point, you know, the grieving will have to happen, because we live in human bodies and we have to let them grieve. You know, because I talk to deceased loved ones, you know, to their spiritual essence, it's really tricky for the human brain, because you're still talking to them. Your heart, your body can feel their love, their essence is still there, but we know logically that the human body does not exist in a live state anymore.
Right.
So when my dad died, I didn't even get an opportunity to grieve, because My husband and his mother, in their infinite wisdom, decided we needed to go to New York for Thanksgiving and go to the Thanksgiving Day parade and be happy. So, plus, it didn't feel like Daddy was dead, you know, because he still talked to me. And at one point, he said, "You have to grieve because the human body has to do that. It's not the same for everybody, and it's not at the same level for every death, but the human body still has to grieve. It's just part of our makeup and how we're wired, that whatever our grief process is for the feelings we held for that person, we have to look at them and manage them and deal with them." When my little magic died, personally, that was the end of the road for me. And it was just the last straw. And it took me years to get over, to be where I could manage it. Even now, I'll just burst into tears, and I have him back in another body, for goodness sake. Grief is so tricky. You know, it's like I say, it's just not the same for every death that happens in our family or our friends. And knowing that they're really okay and they're better off than we are, that we're the ones still here working at overcoming the suffering, the lack and limitation and the pain of this world. It's a lot for our little brains to take in. So, but Gail, did you have something wonderful that's happened for you this week?
I am on mute because William is being walked and Mary is howling.
Oh, okay.
You don't need to hear this. Well, maybe you can probably hear a little of it, but I'm plugging away at stuff. Yeah, plugging away at stuff. It was the 5th anniversary of Michael's passing.
Oh,
and,
my.
My church friends just really rallied around and have been very supportive.
That's
but I would say to anybody who is with someone who's lost a beloved spouse that the more you can do to just bear witness. And for me, having someone with me for the first couple of months was just made all the difference in the world. But it doesn't stop. Mm-hmm. It changes, but it doesn't stop. And I think your instinct to have brought your sister over was probably right on, because you do need support.
If that was her problem, I would have sensed it and went, because I, you know, I'm sensitive to that sort of thing. But you know, I'm funny. I'm very sensitive to that, those kinds of things. But when someone dies, or even a beloved pet, I'm upset for about 24 hours and then I'm over it. I know it sounds weird, but I'm...
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that.
I always release it. I mean, I did that right even when my mother died. Although she wasn't living with me, so that made it a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
She had abandoned the family. It was a very complicated situation. And we'd seen her about 2 weeks before, but because we weren't living with her, I think it helps a lot, you know. But I'm not sentimental that way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very much for the living, even with animals, you know. I love my pets. My Daphne, my cat, my favorite cat of all times, died about 6 months ago. And I was really miss her, because she used to sleep with me and cuddle me. And mm-hmm. She was a character. She was like a fox. You know, mm-hmm. She was like a fox. She behaved like a fox. She was a really interesting little character, and I just adored her. But once we buried her, and we did make a little plaque for her, but you know, then I just let it go. I can do that. I know it sounds a bit hard, but you know, I can.
If you could teach that, your classes would be full. Full.
I just let it go. I do that naturally, but you know, I'm in that course now, where I'm, you know, the other program of it's not really a course, it's just I'm just doing it on my own, where you just let go, you recognize it. It's a way of, you match up really the emotion with the memory in this. But I realized in a way I'm doing that. I'm actually quite used to doing that. And maybe it's because of my childhood. Mm-hmm. I was all over the place. I was in homes. I was in actually orphanages, because they had them there when I was really little. But it didn't, maybe I'm just, I don't know, I just roll with it. Because I've been trained to do that. Yeah. I'm not overly sentimental, but I am feeling for the living, if that makes any sense. Yeah.
Sounds like it's been a full week for everybody.
Yes, it has. Wow.
Jeez. Okay, well, we were going to talk about prosperity mindset today. And I actually have a meditation that it's a prosperity vibration. It's only 8.5 minutes long. Why don't we listen to that, and then we'll talk some more, if that's okay with everybody. Okay. Let's see. I guess I'm going to have to, I may have to share my screen to get that to work. Oh, maybe not. Oh, maybe I will. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and just share the screen where I have this. Okay, yeah, I can do that. All right, so if everybody, if you can turn off your videos. Oh, great, thank you. Turn my off there. Okay, now I'll share my screen and get it started. Carlene, if you could mute.
Okay.
Thank you, honey. Thank you. Okay, here we go.
Place your feet flat on the floor and with your hands gently in your lap, palms up, close your eyes, and focus your attention on your heart. And take a deep breath in. Slowly exhale. And take another slow, deep breath. Now shift your focus to gratitude of the blessings in your life. Embrace things that you're grateful for and feel the emotional fulfillment of gratitude. Take deep, full breaths of gratitude. And ask yourself these questions. Don't try to answer, just ask. Who am I? What do I want? What's my purpose? What makes me happy? Now simply allow yourself to be aware of your physical body, your hands in your lap, your feet on the floor, and now focus again on your heart and allow yourself to hear the beating of your heart as a sound or feel it as a sensation. Now just take a few deep breaths in, and we continue with eyes closed, breathing deeply. You are a limitless being of love and light. You are good enough, worthy, and deserving of all the things that make your heart sing with joy. Now, with quiet, assertive conviction, repeat after me. I deserve to be happy. I am limitless. I am the master creator of my reality. Now we ask our angels of creation to join us, to come close and help us achieve the highest vibration of love possible. Take a deep breath, and together we hold the safe space to tap into the love vibration of your higher self. Take another deep breath and allow yourself to access your creation energy. You may see the sparkles of possibility, or you may feel it as a limitless, bold energy, or you may simply have an awareness that it's there. We ask the creation angels to help us shift the three aspects of our consciousness into alignment, knowing with every cell of your body that you deserve to be, do, and have whatever your heart desires. As your angels hold you in this beautiful space of possibility, take a deep breath and allow yourself to feel the surge of love pulsating throughout all aspects of your essence, your conscious, subconscious, and superconscious. Take a deep breath as we ask the creation angels to come closer still, to continue expanding and intensifying your shift to the highest vibration of love. Take another deep breath, and with each deep breath, embrace the vibration of love and notice the size of your access to creation energy. It gets larger with each breath. You are limitless possibility. You can be, do, and have anything and everything that makes your heart sing with joy. It's already made manifest at a higher plane of existence. There's more than enough creation energy to fulfill all your dreams. It's here for you now and always. What does the energy feel like to receive what you've chosen to create? Open your arms wide to welcome the energy of creation into form. Take a really deep breath and breathe life into what you wish to create. The angels of creation assist and support you. Now take another really deep breath and take in the excitement of what you've created. What does it look like? What does it feel like? Let's ground and anchor this energy. Just allow roots from your feet to go down into Mother Earth, all the way down to the love light at her center. Your roots wrap around a black tourmaline sphere, and after wrapping around the sphere, the roots draw love back up through the earth, through your feet and legs, to your heart, connecting you as one with the love energy of Mother Earth. Now again, take another deep breath in and allow yourself to be aware of your physical body, your feet flat on the floor, your hands in your lap, and bring this love vibration with you into this moment. And when you're ready, open your eyes.
I went to another place and then I came back. It was really weird.
Where did you go?
I was standing on the bank of a lake.
Wow. Was the lake green?
Yes.
I've had that similar dream. I had a dream where I was sitting by a very green lake. Interesting. Maybe another planet.
Could be. Have you ever had experiences where you're in like an alternate dimension?
Sorry, where what?
Where you were like in an alternate dimension, another place?
Not that I could definitively say so, but I've had a few weird experiences which I can't explain. I remember my son and I was, when he was little, we just bought a big, beautiful Persian rug and set it up in the living room. And I was sitting on it and this bumblebee came along and it was as if everything slowed down. Everything was going in slow motion, very hard to explain. And I felt enormously happy. You know, beyond what I would normally imagine possible. It's a very strange thing to explain. It was as if I was in a different movement, different, very light, it's hard to explain, but it didn't last long, maybe a minute. Mm-hmm. But I was very conscious of recording it. Mm-hmm. If you know what I mean, I was aware that I was in something was a little different, but I don't normally have the kind of experiences you have. I've got a friend, she goes off visiting, my best friend in England, Eloise. She's able to do the out of body thing.
Mm-hmm.
Some people have that wonderful gift. I'd be all over the universe if I had it. I'd be packing a bag.
And taking snacks.
Oh my God, if I ever get to that point where I can do that, I'd be very happy.
Well, maybe you just be really happy about doing it now.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't know how you can just say, okay, I'm going off. I don't know how to do it. I don't know. Is there a way of learning how to do that?
Well, my go-to is always to ask my guides and to show me what I need to do. You know, you have to be careful though, because you will get what you ask for.
Yeah.
You will get.
Have you been off planet, off world?
Couple of times. Yeah, the very first time I experienced something that similar to that was there's a woman that lives here in Denver, in the Denver metro area, who wrote, I can't remember. Oh, The Eagle and the Condor.
Mm.
If you've not read that book, it is really, really good.
I'm going to write it down.
The Eagle and the Condor.
Do you know who she was?
Her name. I can't remember her name.
That's an unusual title. So it's
Mine. But she lives here, and she was going to do an event. And I have a friend in California who said, can I stay with you? I want to go to this event. I said, okay. So I wanted to go to the event too. So I bought the book. I read it. I was like, oh yeah, I want to go there. And so we did this event, and we were in the basement of her home, and it had a walkout basement to this beautiful garden in the back. And she did this meditation. And I was sitting on a bar stool, but I was holding on to the seat because I had my eyes closed. You know, we're doing a meditation. And at one point, I felt like I was hovering over the grass outside. I wasn't in my body anymore. I had to open my eyes to find out if I was still in the room. It was so intense. Mm. And I was, my body was still in the room. And when I closed my eyes, I was back outside. It was the most beautiful, intense experience of being one with the air, with the earth, with everything. It was really beautiful. And then the other time, you guys are going to like this. The other time, it was like a dream, but it wasn't a dream. I was in this this apartment in New York City, but it wasn't this one. It was like an alternate universe. And I was with a bunch of people. And then all of a sudden there was a lot of excitement because we had to get out of there because they, whoever they were coming to get us and we had to escape. So we all went in all these different directions. And even though it was a frantic experience, I wasn't scared. I didn't have any fear, which, you know, that's not like me. I should have been scared to death, you know, like can't move. But next thing I knew, I ran into this barn, okay? And I could see light coming through where the pieces of wood came together. And there was nothing in there but a table. And I'm standing there, and then this guy runs in the barn. And oh my God, he was so freaking smoking hot. Oh,
God. Got your blood boiling.
Oh man. He had on a white shirt and blue jeans and a dark blazer, it wasn't really fancy, but it was, you know, a jeans blazer. And he had long dark hair. And oh my God, he was gorgeous. And I threw myself in his arms. I was so happy to see him because I knew him. And I was like, but I knew him and we could hear them coming. So he took my hand and when he took my hand, we became invisible. And we walked out of the barn and we got away from where they were, and they were all in there looking for us. We could hear them. And we got far enough away that it was safe. And when he let go of my hand, we could see each other again. And I said, oh my God, how did you do that? To do that. And he laughed. He said, it wasn't me, it was you. That's why they're looking for you. And I was like, oh my God. But I wasn't ever scared. And then I said, what's your name? And he told me it was Machu Picchu. And I was like, your name is so not Machu Picchu. What is it? You know, we got into this argument. I mean, like, that's the most important thing to discuss, right? And finally, I'm just going to ask Jesus if that's your name. He said, fine, let's go ask him. So we went to where Jesus was, and I asked Jesus if this was his name, Machu Picchu. And he laughed, and he said, yeah. I said, now you're both lying to me. I said, I don't even know if you're really Jesus. And he did. He stopped laughing, and he looked me up and down, and he goes, Kate, you know my energy. You know if it's really me or not. and I thought about it, and I checked in with the energy, and he was telling the truth. So, yeah. I don't even remember what happened after that, but it was just
interesting.
The most vivid experience. I can still feel all of it and see it so clearly. I don't know if it meant anything for this lifetime. Maybe not to be afraid.
I actually had two. Now, I don't dream very much, which is why I remember them. And another thing about my dreams, they always involve the color green. Always, without exception. I've had two dreams of a dragon chasing me. Green dragons.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. No, I just wondered what that might mean. You know, it's got to mean something. Psychologic, you know.
Well, anyway. Green, you know, green is prosperity, you know, new life, a new beginnings. Money. I don't know what color is. I had some money from England. What color is money over there?
It's blue.
Blue.
And okay. Actually, I haven't been back so long. I mean, I forget. I mean, I remember the money that I used. It was green, blue, and the 10 shilling note was always red. But I mean, they've changed that, and I can't remember what the new ones are.
Well, you know, you can, even though it's been, you know, it wasn't last night or 10 minutes ago, you can go back into your dreams. Just ask your angels to help you. And or if you don't want to go back into the dream, ask them to show you what it means for you.
Okay, I'll do
that. Is there something important here? How did you feel when the dragons were chasing you? I mean, you were running.
In the first dream, this is when I was about 26. I remember this one. I'm running from this dragon, and I suppose I imagined these kind of pencil things with sharp points, like a little forest of them, and I ran in them and the dragon couldn't get me because of the points.
Mm-hmm.
But I just remember it's weird because I don't dream very much, so at least I'm not aware of my dreams in general, but that one was vivid. And then the other one is that was a bit more vague. That was again being chased by a dragon, but I don't remember the resolution of that.
Have you looked up dragon totem?
No.
I'll bet there's a lot of magic involved.
I don't have a fear of dragons. You know, they're even part of one of my sci-fi novels, but I find the whole reptilian thing rather interesting, actually, even though they're not supposed to be very friendly to us, if you, depending on who you read, whose research you read, but I find them rather fascinating. I wouldn't have thought I would be as frightened of them, and I don't remember being in fear. With the first dream, I just remember being happy that I outwitted the dragon.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Second one, I can't remember. I just remember being chased by another green bloody dragon. I don't know what that was about. But it's really because I don't remember my dreams normally that I remember these. And they're always green. There aren't them other things that I've dreamt in. It's always the colour green comes up.
Hmm. Wow.
Nothing
that
else.
Is interesting. Well, you should, you know, if you want to know, you can ask to help.
I will. It's a good idea. I never thought to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
That's pretty cool.
Anybody so else? Do you, Gail? Do you have strange dreams? Can't just be me and you.
Sorry. Now it's William's turn to cry.
Oh, no.
I'm always great. Usually I don't remember them, but I will wake up in the middle of the night with a bad dream and then not go back to sleep. So that's really annoying. I used to dream about work, and I still do. I mean, I've been retired 16 years and I still occasionally go back into a dream where I'm I'm in the Army. But mostly I prefer not to remember them.
Yeah. What about you, Carlene?
Oh, I have a very active dream life.
Really?
Yeah, very active. And sometimes I will get, occasionally, it's, you know, I will get messages about people, what's going on with them. Like, say, for example, I haven't seen someone in a long time, and then in a dream, I'm talking to them, and a lot of times they're going through some sort of difficulty or something. And I will, you know, talk to them. I'm giving them advice. That happened. Actually, I remember that happening twice. And then later on talking to the person, and then they actually kind of did what I said, even though I didn't talk to them in real life. You know, they, you know, like I'll give advice and say, yeah, you know, you're having so much trouble with your husband. Maybe you should just go to your mom for a while, think about things. And then, like, you know, it just so happened the time I had the dream was when they were having the problem. And then I'll speak with them and they're like, yeah, I'm in my mom's house right now. You know, I'm staying there because of, you know, so I, you know, are things that are going to happen, you know, periodically I will have that, you know. And then other times, yeah, it's just, I dream every night. I dream every night. So sometimes they're prophetic. You know, sometimes it's stuff that's going on in my life, you know. Yeah. You know, like I have a lot, some dreams where I'm naked and I'm trying to cover myself and, you know, I've had dreams where I'm fighting stuff and it's usually what's going on in my life. If I feel like I'm a bit embattled in the dream, I'm fighting different things, you know, demons or different. Yeah.
Okay.
Very active dream life.
Has anybody ever had what's called a lucid dream where you're half awake and you are directing the dream? I mean, I've heard of this. I've never done it myself.
That dream I had about being in that alternate universe thing was like, I would describe it more like that than a dream.
Okay.
Now, when you dream of a loved one who's deceased, and you can remember it just as clearly a week, 2 weeks, years later as when it happened, then it wasn't a dream. It was really a visit.
Yeah, I've had some dreams like that with my dad. You know, he passed away. And I remember going through a divorce and I didn't have the full picture of what was going on. And in the dream, it's like I was trying to go up an escalator when everybody was coming down, and halfway in the escalator my dad took my hand, turned me around, and brought me into a room that was really quiet and really still, you know. And I think the message was, you know, yeah, this is over, turn around, you know, go find your peace. And I mean, this dream was like probably 15 years ago, you know. You know, I'll have dreams about my dad. I have dreams about him periodically. And I think he really does, you know, communicate with me certain times in my life, you know, and when I'm going through something, you know, I will dream of him. So, and I remember those dreams. So as you say, Kate, then I think, yeah, it really was an encounter then.
Mm-hmm. What about you, JJ?
No, my dream world isn't like Carlene's. I mean, I'm on the opposite. It's, you know, I very rarely remember my dreams. Very, very rarely. And as I say, the ones that I do always involve green. When I wake, on the odd occasion when I wake up and there's green in my dream, I think, oh, I must remember that. Anyway, there you go.
So how do we feel about our mindset? You know, we listen to the meditation, moving into that prosperity vibration. Do you find it difficult because of everything that's happening in the world? Are you taking in, you know, like JJ mentioned earlier about empathy and sympathy? You know, I would say that most all of us are empaths to a degree, that we take on what's happening around us, and we have to protect ourselves from that because it'll pull us down. Like you said, it just pulls us down.
You don't want to go down to that level. You want to keep up so that you can be of use to the person on your level.
Mm-hmm.
It's about
consciousness. Sorry,
Connie.
No, I had an experience while I was in Jamaica, because we stayed in a very exclusive resort, very expensive. And, I really tried to absorb a lot of that richness around me, but the people that are working there, and I see how hard they are working and how much they're trying to eke out a life, as I am by the pool relaxing, And I think sometimes there's that, that guilt of, having prosperity as others, are struggling, which I had that experience. And it's almost like, okay, if I am rich, then I will try to do something to help these, people that are struggling, as that's my way of trying to kind of get over that. But there is a certain amount of guilt when I see, other people struggling, and I'm not always sure exactly how to handle that. And I think sometimes that does hamper my prosperity a little bit.
Yeah, because it's dragging down your vibration, definitely.
Yeah, I meant
their level rather than lifting them up in your mindset.
Yeah.
To your level. Not level, I'm using that.
Yeah.
Very, very loosely, of course. It's not.
Yeah, definitely. It's really hot, and then they're cleaning the rooms, and and I'm very mindful of of them and what they're doing, and so it's like I'm not always sure how to get over that. I think to some level it does hamper my prosperity. There's a certain level of guilt.
First is recognizing it. And you've done that. So then being able to infuse them, that those people, the people that you're thinking of, and the whole situation with love energy. Because when we feel badly for someone, when we feel there's a discernment that comes in there of they are having a hard time. They're not their life is more difficult than mine. We can't, Florence teaches us that we can't see them that way. The people who had nothing, 7 cents, and they gave her one. I mean, 7 cents is nothing to us today. I mean, people don't even keep pennies, today, but in 1924, 25, whatever, she had that experience with the person giving her a coin. She couldn't not take it because that would block their flow. So when we can look at someone and see that they're struggling and then hold them in the light of being prosperous, of experiencing a life of joy, even though we haven't said anything to them, we haven't rented them a beautiful house and given them a good job and they're living there, we can hold them in the energy of that. And they feel that energy. They don't know where it's come from. They don't know what it is, but it's a support. It's a support to improve their lives. A way is opened, an avenue, the energy of all of it. And then it takes us out of that lower feeling of worry about them and puts us in the vibration of love energy. So then we're manifesting more for ourselves and we're helping them open the way to improve their lives too. We all have experiences that we come back here to process through. There's pain, there's suffering, there's joy and happiness. We're here to overcome the suffering and the pain and that false belief of lack and limitation. You hear about villages that are discovered that modern man hasn't been a part of, And these villages don't have cell phones and, you know, social media or news 24/7 or, you know, movies. They don't have processed food. They live in this village where they are fully self-sufficient and they have happiness. It's you hear about, read books where someone who's in prison or someone who can't see has been sitting next to someone who's been describing the world outside the window. And actually the world outside the window, it's not a beautiful park where you see people playing and enjoying their, yeah, it's a brick wall.
Yeah.
Happiness is within us, no matter what's going on around us or what our life looks like. And us feeling guilty is not part of the plan.
Yeah.
Not part of the plan. We have to recognize that we're feeling it and then take the steps to pull ourselves out of it and take with us through love energy someone that, you know, somebody's life who has caused that feeling within us.
Yeah, and meditation is great. Is it possible that, you know, I can get a copy of that? And maybe that's something I could probably do every day, you know?
The meditation we listen to or a meditation that does that?
Well, the one that we listen to, the one that you did is really great.
Yeah.
Or if I'm you gonna, have another one that you recommend, you know.
I'm going to put that, that one may be in the membership, but I'll definitely put it with this call. And when I send out the link, go download it.
Okay.
The Healing Circle of Love meditation is what I use for everything. That's where, you know, we call the angels in and the people or situations we put in the center of the circle and send love to. And that's all over the membership, you know, in different ways, whether it's a video about how to send love or, it's in the create your heaven on earth. It's in there. Let me make a note here and I'll put that in there. I'll put the directions to it, or I'll just put it with the link.
Okay.
Okay. So we are almost at the top of the hour and then I have another call in 30 minutes. Gail, are you going to be able to make that call?
I'm planning on it.
Okay. Awesome. Okay. Well, unless there's another question, I think we'll go ahead and complete.
Okay. Yeah. I just want to send Gail some love, you know,
thank you.
Yeah. With what you're going through and, you know, just know that I'm thinking about you and giving you a little circle of love, you know, I know
it's, so
it must be hard. I just want to send that to you. You're so kind. So send you some kindness and some joy today.
Thank you.
Awesome. Okay. JJ, can you stay for just a minute? Okay. All right. Well, ladies, it has been so wonderful to see all of you and sending all of you lots of love and have a wonderful week. And if something comes up, be sure to post in the Facebook because we're here for you. Okay.
Okay, great.
Thanks so much.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.